What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today. It's too much today.
Hey there, listeners. Welcome back to Filling in the Gaps, where you're old. We've had some great gaming since the last time you listened to us. If you're new, welcome to the table. We may not be an actual play podcast, but we hope our podcast can help you actually play. We're a couple DMs who create stories or sessions based on a randomized theme and scenario that we get from rolling on a table with 2d20. It's a great way to get your creative juices flowing, kind of flex your DM muscles, and it's just kind of a lot of fun. You come up with some interesting ideas. With that, we're going to go ahead on with introductions. My name is David. I'm going to be our introduction host for this episode.
My name is Malcolm. I'm on themes.
And I am Sam, or DM Mambo, here on the scenarios.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, David.
I love the calm vibe that we're giving off right now. This is like...
This is very NPR-esque.
What was that? Like lo-fi? Hip-hop beats to study to. Lo-fi podcast to listen to.
Welcome to the ASMR episode of Filling in the Gaps.
This week, we're going to go with another weekly question just to kind of get things started. And my question this week is, how did you get started with your tabletop gaming? Like, what brought you into RPGs and pen and paper games?
I'll go ahead and start this one. During the Stranger Things boom, as I'd like to call it, because that was right around the time a bunch of D&D stuff kind of coalesced and really started to move towards mainstream, we had The Adventure Zone come out, and then Stranger Things, I think it was season one or two, happened around the same time The Adventure Zone got really big. So one of my friends in college was like, hey, let's play a D&D game. And we were like, you know, we've been seeing a lot about that, and that sounds like the kind of dorky, goofy, nerdy thing that we'd love to do. So yeah, let's sit down and do that.
As for me, I had two friends who really wanted to play, like, sophomore year of college, and we played like one or two, I think it was 4E actually, I don't really remember, very intoxicated. I just remember that my first character was a Minotaur, and by the second session, it was canon that he was cross-eyed because I missed everything. Like, maxed out strength, ready to rumble, ready to go, and, like, just missed everything. But then the same friend got into 5E, and he's like, I'll DM. Let's just play. And we started to play, and that's how we started. And then we got interested in DMing myself and podcasts, obviously. I think the first podcast that really drew me in was You Meet in the Tavern. I just happened to stumble on them when they released their first episode, and then I was like, yes, this could be fun to do. And thus, Bardic Inspiration was born.
What about yourself, David?
Mine started in college. In 2010, I was part of like a Magic the Gathering club, and we were just at our local game store and saw that there were a couple of the introductory 3.5 books were on sale. So we were like, that might be fun. Someone in the group had experience DMing, but they were not great at it and very quickly weren't sure that they wanted to continue. So I was like, I guess I'll learn how to DM and play at the same time. And so I picked up the books and we just started doing like some starter campaigns. And basically every semester of school, I would run a campaign for pretty much the same group of people that would go start to finish, and we would have interesting stuff.
Yeah, it's always interesting to see how the first campaigns wind up being, like, very wrong a lot of times, like, because we don't really understand the rules or different things. Like, I remember the first time we were playing, one of my fellow players, one of our friends still now, was like, you're doing it wrong, because we counted armor points as temp hit points, because we didn't know what we were doing. The whole game was very, very wrong, and looking back on it, it's not really D&D, but it's D&D-inspired game, but we later actually learned the rules. And we were like, oh, yeah, that makes way more sense. And we, like, once we had time to read over the books and weren't just over enticed by, like, oh my gosh, we want to play the game with the wizards and the magic and the fighting and the cool stuff. We were like, oh yeah, this could be really something. This could be really fun. And learning the rules is not a hindrance. It's more of a thing where it's like, oh, you can have things be this way as a base setup, and then you can do a bunch of wild stuff. Then you can make Walking Dead inside of your D&D world, like my first DM did. And I love that. That was great. So, yeah.
So you guys actually know the rules?
Cause... No, do not mistake that for a second. No, I will never claim that.
I try. I try hard, but yeah, honestly, the rule of cool being out there, that's what I go with. If my players are having fun and they really want to do something ridiculous, then I'm going to let them. Like, when you guys playtested I did submit that for consideration, but the encounter I wrote, when you guys playtested in our lovely audio gremlin, wanted to play with giant metal fists, and we just, you know... deconstructed them all and put around his two fists instead. So technically you're not supposed to, but it's my campaign and I want it now.
Yeah, I go with the pirates rule of rules are more of a guideline to let you know like how far you're really going. Making sure that things make sense still. I like a bunch of crazy over the top shit. Like, it's always really, really cool to see stuff go buck wild. And one of the things that I remember that I'm still a little salty about with my current DM, but we haven't played in literally like a year now because of pandemic. One of the things I remember saying is like, I have the ability to create food and water. And he's like, yes. And I go, in a vessel. And he goes, yes. And I was like, can I do that inside of someone's body? And he goes, no. And I was like, it is a vessel. And he goes, no. And I was like, religiously, it's a vessel. My cleric is religious. And he goes, no. And I was like, all right. But it's like, it's a shape. And I know what it looks like. He was like, no. And I was like, why? He's like, because it's not how it's supposed to be used. And I was like, then make somebody come after me. But I want to take out this one guy with this spell. Because that's how I would run it. I always run things that if you do something ridiculous, the world will remember that you did that, and people will react accordingly. Like, you do that one time, people are going to be like, he's a demon. You got to kill him. You can't let that go. Like, this creature somehow formed water inside this, but cast a different spell no one's seen, and that murdered a person. Like, I always find that kind of stuff fun. So I'm very much a rules light person, but I think they're there to help kind of corral some of the crazy and prevent some stuff. But I think if you can make some stuff really, really fun, just do it. It's your game. Why not?
And I think a lot of the books even have like that as a clause where they call out like, hey, these are kind of rules. Be cool.
Kind of rules. Well, I do have a question while we're at it about all this DMing stuff. Sam?
What's that?
Shall we roll?
Let's do it, baby! I'm gonna roll my Wario dice today.
I lost my dice box somewhere in my room when I was cleaning it, but I have other dice because I have other dice. I'm not a dice goblin, I only have 3 sets. But
I'm too poor to be a dice goblin. I wish I was.
I don't like to collect things. When Pokemon cards were first like a big thing and everyone was collecting them, you know, before the big Pokemon are now like a tradable commodity and important, like when I was a kid, I would just go, I don't get why. Why should I do this? I'm just spending money to hope to get something that I'm probably not going to get. So, yeah. Anyway, my roll for themes is an 18.
I have a 10.
Let's see what those are.
This is very... weird, because we were listening to, well, the genre that we're about to pull, like, right before this. This is a very weird...
I feel like we can give them a shout-out. I feel like the song deserves the shout-out that it was.
Well, I mean, just after David announces, we can.
Yes, that's fair.
So, for our theme today, from Malcolm, actually, we have Disco Ain't Dead. And our scenario, which is actually from me, is Tucker's Kobolds. And... an explanation of what Tucker's Kobolds is it's kind of like, I guess, a frame of mind for DMing. The original story was basically this group of like 15th level characters went into a dungeon and their DM only used like CR half kobolds against them. But following the way that the kobolds use their tactics, setting up traps and creating like areas to ambush the party, they were able to do a lot of damage, surprising this high level party and kind of reminding your players that even though you're powerful, there are still things in the world that can hurt you, even if they're not very threatening.
Mm-hmm. I had read that story when I saw that in there, because I tried to keep up on what our demon scenario list is, and I was just like, oh! Because it's, as you described, it's a story about a party going in and going like, oh, kobolds, we'll just take them, and then they just get wrecked by them, and the DM's like, yeah, don't mess with the kobolds. Like, they can still get you.
Playing smartly is very important, or at least understanding that the DM can use tactics against you as well as you kind of pulling out your own tactics.
Well, what I was thinking about, the moment I heard Disco Ain't Dead with Tucker's Kobolds is Irresistible Dance. It feels like that's the spell, right? Like, that's, we gotta do something with that at some point. Also, I have, for the record, as the person who put it on it, I don't know what Disco Ain't Dead means. It's not like a reference to something. It is. I have just been like, it popped into my head one day of like, I used to have an old email that I don't have anymore called Disco Dino 123, which also, side note, the song that we were going to talk about is a song about a disco dancing dinosaur party by Chuck E. Cheese, which we will not diatribe about because that's way too much. But look it up. It's a good song, surprisingly. But the big thing about it was just one day while looking over the list, I added a bunch of things in like a moment of heading home, and I was like, oh, Disco Ain't Dead. That sounds nice. And then now it's here. What's on your mind, Sam?
Disco Cave Party.
Okay.
Kobolds are, their evil dragon master has been slain, and now it's time to get down and boogie. All I see is a giant crystal dragon skull hanging above the rafters, and a bunch of kobolds doing the electric slide and breakdance fighting.
Okay. I like where you're going with this.
It's very, maybe you could call it generic, but God, do I want to see kobolds having a disco party, very much like, oh gosh, what was the movie? Oh, I can't remember the reference I'm looking at right now, but...
Is it the dinosaur movie?
No, it's got, I can't even remember his name, Eddie Griffin? He's the comedian who's on a lot of the roast. That's his recent work, right?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I think I know what you're talking about.
Norbit, he plays one of the pimps with, God, I don't know why my names are like just Cat Williams.
I can't. My movie knowledge to that era that you're referring to.
Very is... Black Dynamite-esque, sort of.
No, I got where you're going with it. I can't. All I can think of is Undercover Brother. And
yeah, it's not it, but I'm thinking of similar lines of that parody action style. Like, you know, all these kobolds have ridiculous names, such as like, you know, Black Dynamite and all of the, like all of those ridiculous names. And it's just, you're in there and you have to, even if it's just your party has to be the bouncers and kick all, like, find the illegal drugs and kick those guys out so we can boogie all night.
I have an idea for this. Okay, so I'm going to take the first part you said that you were talking about, like, the main guy's dead. The dragon is dead. And the kobolds are just chilling and celebrating because all the stuff the dragon had now belongs to them. Like, that's their area now. So you can come in and you just are in their party. Like, they are having a good time. And so you have it where you go in and they are, of course, ridiculously vicious, but not innately so. It's going to be a thing where they like draw you in two traps and different things. And they're just really deadly. Like, we can keep that Tucker Kobold's thing, but just have the deceiving illusion of like, no, it's a good time. Hang out with us. And then it's a bad time for them.
Oh, you know what it could be? To go off of, just going off movie references right now, have you guys ever seen Mystery Men?
Oh, yeah.
So you remember...
It was on my list.
the end fight. Oh, now I can't talk about it.
No, go.
So it's anyway, they get to like the bad guy's house, who is his name just disappeared from my head. Oh my god, he plays Captain Barbossa. He's incredible. I cannot think of his name.
Actor names.
I'm usually pretty good. I mean, it was my job for a long time to know people's names. Jeffrey something. I gotta look it up. I'm sorry. I gotta look it up. And then I'm gonna be pissed when I find it.
Don't be pissed. This is the ASMR episode. We're all chill here. Happy little trees. Do you know that's apparently why Bob Ross got popular? Is because people are like, oh, it's kind of ASMR. It's kind of relaxing. Oh yeah.
Jeffrey Rush. God.
Wouldn't have guessed it. So, but okay. So we have these. All right. So Jeffrey Rush.
Anyway, so kind of like, so the big fight where you go in, they're dancing, they're having a disco party and everything like that, and you're coming in to bust everything up so you can save, maybe someone's kidnapped, maybe the dragon's still alive.
Maybe the dragon's name is Disco.
It could be. Disco Inferno?
No, because then it's Disco ain't dead, so he's still alive, but they're celebrating like he's dead, and they're doing it would be like a multi-layered thing.
So yes, you go, David.
Listening to what you guys have said, I've put a couple ideas together, and I really like this pitch. So dragons are known for hoarding things, usually money, wealth, whatever. Our dragon for this story hoards dance. So they see dances, they have people do them in their lair. They kind of keep prisoners who perform these dances that he now owns. And if you die, he's just going to reanimate you and make you keep dancing because you're his dance now. Now, this dragon, who's very powerful with their necromantic magic, is not going to want to die. So they're going to be a Dracolich at some point, kind of creating a manifestation of themselves that's going to live forever. Their phylactery would basically be something that incorporates the dance. So it would be like a record player that can cast Tasha's Hideous, or no, Otto's Irresistible Dance on you, just if you're trying to interfere with it. And I'm thinking like gem dragons, so that we have that kind of glitteriness coming off. And emerald dragons are actually specific. They're distrustful of visitors, and they set lots of traps. So who better to maintain a big trap infested den than these little kobolds who worship the dragon?
I like that. I was also thinking gem dragons as well, because that's in AU right now, or UA, sorry. Oh, man.
An alternate universe, it might be there.
We're just having a brain fart day, apparently.
It's been a rough couple of months, let's be honest. When this episode comes out, it will probably be towards the end of the year. So it'll be hopefully better than it is right now when we're recording it.
I like that a lot. I just love that this is like very 60s, 70s themed. I want the disco music in there. I want a bunch of bards. I want, you know, all those comic bits, like just those. That's what I would kind of copy and paste into this encounter. And I think maybe the dragon wants something from your party. If you have a bard, that would be great. That's what he wants. He wants the bard who can do this one dance or something like that. Or you know, maybe this could be a setup episode or a follow-up episode of, not episode, of a session of where you give your players this. Either you let them very much create a dance, kind of like in The Knight's Tale when Ulrich goes to dance for the first time and he's like, I have no idea what I'm doing. You have him kind of do that kind of scene, and then the dragon so happens to find out and he wants this knowledge of how do you dance like that.
I'm gonna offer a little bit of a alternative here, because after hearing all this, let me offer my compilation pitch. So
no.
I wasn't asking permission. But okay, so what we're gonna do is, or what I'm thinking is, you have it be a lot like how David said, but instead of the part where the Dracolich hoards dances, or just hoards dances, he's hoarding like the party. He is having it be not the party, the people, the party as a party, the party. And so what he has is he takes these bards, he's kidnapping bards or getting bards to come in, and he's taking the, what's it called? oh gosh, what are they called? The dancers, and he's having them in, and he's having it be like his own personal jukebox. So that way the people get a rest when they aren't on. But the moment he's like, now I want this people to perform right now to do that one song I like. And it's just trapped perpetually in that, and they can't say no.
One, it reminds me, you could change it from Spotify to Spotify.
Yes.
He's like, Earn, skip this song halfway through or whatever. Play that one again. But it also reminded me of, what if we had a three-headed dragon all with the witches from Hocus Pocus? I put a spell on you. And that's what basically, no one can die. And that's why the disco ain't dead, is because once you start this party and get trapped in, you dance until, well, you're free or you're dead, but then you get reanimated. So you have all these, like, you know, skeletons or zombies and other types of creatures that are dancing until for eternity, or until these three dragonesses are defeated.
Now, like I said before, Sam, I'm much more of a Godzilla fan, so I was thinking the Ghidorah heads when he said three-headed dragon, because they all have very different personalities.
You could do that directors. For sure.
Yeah. So,
I was thinking of, like, you know that the meme where it shows, like, the multi-headed dragon, and it's like...
That's Ghidorah, yep.
Oh, is that it?
Yep.
Okay. And then there's, like, the derpy one, and he's like, that's how they roll.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. That's exactly kind of what I was thinking of. You know, yeah. Flavor it to like what the witches look like. Because you got the goofy one, and then you have, you know, the more evil one, and then you have, you know, the quote-unquote dumb but killer one. I think that would be so funny.
If it's a Draco Lich, and they have these necromantic powers, they could split up. So you could have three skeletal dragons kind of roaming this dungeon. And then as you beat them, they kind of retreat and we'll all form together.
Oh, that's great. I was also thinking of, what if, like, the more people they have dancing, the younger they appear, you know? So that's why they're always looking more and more to get new dancers. Because if when people die and they bring them back to life, sure, they're still dancing, but their nutrients is gone. So they keep recruiting. They keep sending out, like, their kobolds to go in, like, oh, go to the village, grab some people who want to, like, you know, who you think you can, or they have, like, an emissary. Maybe it is, like, a kobold paladin who's, like, righteous and such, but really is aligned to them, and he's getting all these, like, professional jesters, court mages, all of these people who know how to do dancing and very, you know, up high in the nobility to come follow him with, like, maybe it's, like, a made-up kingdom. And, you know, Sir Mix-a-Lot is his name. And he's and he's coming around
to the 80s.
You know, it's a musical theme. It's all musical now. And you're bringing him back, and it's like the Kingdom of Disco or whatever you want to Distrogo or whatever. And he's bringing all of these people in, and that's how they're learning more and more of these different dances. But the more they get, the younger they appear. So when your players get there and they start beating these monsters who engage in a battle, a dance battle with them, they start slowly and slowly, like, reverting back into the Draco Lich form. And the final battle, final wave, is all three of them coming together as one massive Draco Lich. And that's, like, the final end game of the conclusion of the session.
I was actually thinking a lot more with the Draco Lich, a lot more like, I don't know if you guys ever saw Scooby-Doo 2, but the idea of, like, the skeleton men, because their bones were not very attached to themselves. Like, they combine at different points throughout the movie. And I was thinking more along those lines when you were talking about, like, three individuals, and that way they can be in multiple places at once, but their true form's the one. So you could have it be that there's, like, different mini bosses or dragons, Draco Liches that you fight, but then at the end you have to fight the three-headed Draco Lich who's really behind everything, which is just the three Draco Liches you fought, but all together. Also, while making it through a bunch of kobolds and apparently trying to rescue swarms of people who have been captured by this thing.
Yeah, I think you would try to save the ones that are still alive, but having those people who are already dead and dancing, I think those are who your players can target, because even though they're not supplying nutrients, they're still playing magical power or soul energy, whatever you flavor it as. The power of the dance. You know, you have flamingo dancers. You have all different kinds of thing.
He just enjoys dancing.
Yeah.
Now, my view was just that he likes to collect stuff. So I like the idea of it serving a purpose, but at the same time, I also still really like the idea of it just being like having an iPod. Like, oh, I just put this on whenever I feel like it, and that's what I get.
You could also, kind of a combination of the two, maybe how would you do that? Like, if each of these groups that are performing are in, like, a movable chamber, so your dragon could basically grab one of these and slot it into itself as a direct battery. So, like, it'll roam around listening to this, the music from inside, the dancing from inside, and it would get benefits based on whichever dance it pulls off the shelf.
Okay, so that would be kind of like the... My mind kind of goes to the void fish from the Adventure Zone. Would that be accurate? Or are you saying something else? I'm a little lost. I also have people move outside my door, so...
He's putting the song on, but it's like he opens like a chamber in his chest, and here's Bartholomew III, who's great at doing folk songs, and he starts, you know, singing Of Mice and Men in the chest, and that's how the dragon starts to dance.
Or he pulls out, he would call them discs. He pulls out a disc. He's like, this is my Oasis disc. He puts it in, and now he can cast a bunch of prismatic walls. These are my wonder walls.
Yeah, my wonder walls. Yep. There it is.
Oh, man, the spell puns are going to be amazing for this one.
If you put, if you combine them with his pink disc, you can put another brick on the wall.
But yeah, that could be a reason for, other than him just enjoying seeing it, if basically they act as batteries for different magical powers that he can use.
I like that. And that would give a reason for him to kind of collect them. Mm-hmm. Maybe, or he or she or they, leave the cave to go do different stuff. And when you get there, it's just the kobolds hanging out, and you get to the people, and then they come back in, and you're like, oh, this is this place. Like, just like I know sometimes when you go into dragons' lairs, the dragon's not in the lair. It can be the same thing with the Draco Lich. Like, it terrorizes a kingdom and then goes back to its nest. Maybe you're not in the nest when it's back. Maybe it's terrorizing a kingdom. Maybe that's why somebody sent you, is because this thing is terrible. And maybe it's like a traditional D&D quest at first, where you're like, oh man, like this kingdom's getting decimated by a Draco Lich. We gotta do something. And then you go up and you get to the Draco Lich's lair, and it's like, disco, dance in. And you're like, what's happening? What? And it's just like, yeah, book it, Wonderland. And everyone's like, I don't understand. The kobolds are just like, nah, you gotta give in to the dance, or you gotta, like, what do you offer us? And then you can, like, they can be super not interested in gold, which will be very off-putting to your players, because it can be, that's the big thing about dragons. A lot of people think it's like, oh, they want gold or rupees or whatever. And it's like, no, we don't want money. Just hang out, dance a bit. And they're like, okay, yeah, this is weird.
Dance until I get bored. Mm. Hint, I never get bored.
I remember when I ran a cyberpunk game, when I ran my D&D game and I had them meet people from a cyberpunk world or cyberpunk-esque part of the world, there was an AI I had made, and they were like, oh, okay. And they had talked to it and convinced it that they're like, oh, we'll help you learn. And I was like, okay, cool. And then at one point, it was destroying stuff. It was taking down towns. It built a bunch of robots. It was destroying everything. And they were like, well, okay, what do you want? And it's like, I just want information. And I'm like, okay, cool. They're like, what kind? I was like, any kind. And they were like, okay, we'll tell it stuff. And they kept telling it stuff. And then they're like, Malcolm? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, how long are you going to do this? And I was like, when are you going to run out of information? And they're like, what happens when we run out of information? I was like, then you're no use to it anymore. And it can go back to doing what it was doing. And so they had to figure out a different way, because they're like, we outsmart. And I was like, no, you didn't. You just fell into a loop. That's all that is. So having that would be something fun.
Yeah, I like your idea of a loop where they walk in. I like the scenario of the king has asked you to slay a powerful, mighty dragon. And you get in there and it's in human form and it's dancing with a bunch of kobolds, like, you know, very much a gold member from Austin Powers.
Yes.
Dancing in the middle, you know, definitely some cheesy name like that. very 70s cheesy name. It's dancing, it's going. You can describe the beautiful crystals and diamonds on the floor. There's this skull gleaming with light bouncing off different sides of this dark cave, illuminating it. Everyone's wearing loose-fitted fine silks. Their pants pop out at the ankles, covering their feet, but everyone's moving so majestically. And then you gaze upon the creature you're sent to slay, and he's throwing his hands up in the air, going from upright, down left, upright, down left, in a diagonal motion. He spins and turns to you and goes, "Hya, welcome. We can dance if you want to. We can leave your friends behind, because if they don't dance, because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance well, then they're my enemy." And he turns into the dragon. And they're like,
I like the idea of getting this quest from a king, but also it would be a fun thing to have, like, a noble who's trying to give you this quest, who's not mad that people are getting kidnapped, but who is completely pissed off that someone keeps ruining his parties.
Yes. Oh my god, he can't win in the dance-off. That's why he's pissed. The dragon's not killing anyone, but he's like, the princess or someone he was trying to impress was impressed by the dragon's dancing better than his. And so now he's, like, really pissed that, like, now he doesn't look cool enough to, like, get the girl. So he's trying to get everyone and anybody to go and ruin this goddamn party.
Okay, now that we're going this way, I would like to pitch a different, slightly adjusted perspective, which is The Great Gatsby, but with the dragon. So the dragon's just like, yo, we gotta keep throwing parties. I need all y'all to stay. Like, it's not even kidnapping. He's just keeping them all there. He, like, pays them in, like, gold or whatever, destroys some towns sometimes, but wants to ruin this one guy's parties, comes out, like, once a month to do that, and just throws parties every day and tries to get these, like, different people to come in that he wants to have come.
That would be hysterical.
Another version of, oh, you like, oh, she likes music, bro? I got you. Just.
That would be a really cool take on it, too, if, like, rather than being kind of deep in this lair where the dragon kind of is upfront about, yeah, I collect people who I like their dancing, and I also host these parties in the kingdom, and you're invited, and if you don't come, you're gonna make me mad. You'll come and you'll dance at this party. If you don't dance good enough, or if you don't try, you're gonna have a bad time. And if you dance too well, you're gonna stay.
Yeah, I like that. I think it'd be great too if, like, the our Lord and Savior of the internet is crashing for young Malcolm over there.
No, I'm good. Hello? My end shows good.
You were frozen for a second.
You were very frozen.
I was just standing still. But the, I was also, Percy Jackson readers. I was thinking the hotel from Percy Jackson. That's really fun and, like, euphoric, and everyone's like, why would we ever want to leave? Like, that kind of effect there. Like, everyone's charmed to be having a good time. Maybe they actually are having a good time, but on top of that, there's a charm.
Mm-hmm.
Of it, of like, yeah, no, disco party, yeah.
Oh, and you could, like, when you're going through the dungeon that stores where he keeps all of his dancers, you would find them dancing, and, like, someone who's completely starved, like, I'm having a great time, as they're in the middle of a waltz.
You see, like, the one like, tear no, come down their face.
You're dying. You're like, we need to get you out of here. They're like, no, this party's awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, well, back to Hocus Pocus, put a spell on you, like, they were all all happy to be dancing. I think that needs to be here, because then if there's no problem and it's just a party to piss off a noble, your players aren't gonna, I should say, at least my players won't care. They'll be like, yeah, we'll piss off this noble, too. But, like, once the party's over, I'm going home. I think it's great if maybe this, I would probably use this. If, like, the dancing part, I would use this when I would have a player who couldn't make a session, and I would have their player somehow be kidnapped, caught up, or charmed into dancing. Going out, party, like leaving a note saying, going to a party, I'll be back later. And then, you know, leaving the instructions to get to the party. And as you do, your players soon to get these clues ever, like, maybe they talk to the king, maybe they see the guards, wherever, and the guards are like, no, don't go, your party member, your friend is dead. We cannot reclaim anyone we try to pull out from the party, like, by force, their brains just explode, or they just They become so depressed they stop moving and eating altogether. All they want to do is dance at that party. They don't eat, they don't drink, they don't sleep. Nothing.
If your friend hasn't come back yet, they're not going to.
Right. They'll be dancing till they're dead.
And then
some. That's really good.
I really like this one.
I think that's... And then you can still have the kobolds. I love the fact the kobolds are there because they could want, you know, shitty kobold club manager right there. you want to get in, it's 50 gold to get in. That's how they're... Like, so the dragon's not in it for the gold, but the kobolds are. And so they're doing a double front racketing where they're, one, helping their dragon master by getting unique dancers, unique songs, unique entertainment for them. But they're also getting cash on the side that the dragon has no use for or wants. And like, so then your party has another double up because if they do clear the dungeon, they can go find this treasure room. But they can set up traps so people can't leave. You know, maybe they put special sounds, special conch shells with thaumaturgy infusion in there. So there's not a quiet spot in the cave, in the dance hall. But there's a way to break the spell. I think the way to break the spell is if you, I'm not sure yet, but.
Or I think you gotta kill the Draco Lich.
Yeah, but if your players get, all of them are caught dancing, can they fight dancing? Or do they have to now figure out a way to how to do combat without attacking the dragon? Because, you know, I'm thinking very much Goldmember-esque, where, you know, they're all talking unison, you know, it's Goldmember, and then he comes down, and he's the party. You don't kill the party.
So, I think that'll be an instant, not TPK, but a situation where you gotta leave that up to the creativity of your party. Because I know when my DM... while I was playing with my friends at one point, we had a situation where one of them was like, oh, I cast Irresistible Dance on the main big bad that we've been fighting this whole time. And my DM just goes, ever hear of, and I can't remember what it was, but the type of like dance fighting, and we're just like...
Capoeira.
Yeah, I almost said capybara, but I was like, I think that's... the rodent.
That's the largest rodent in the world.
Yes. So I knew that was wrong. But I was like, oh, we take that. We can take that kind of action too, where if your players think of it and go, oh, well, I would like to, like, as I'm like waltzing or whatever, like throw this or like grab this. And like, if they can bring in their dancing into it, or just have them kind of roll that at disadvantage, and I'm pretty sure that would count fine for most people, to, like, try to dance fight if your characters don't know how to, or if you wanted to just not
or, be super you know, creative. Maybe just attacks in general have a disadvantage when you're concentrating on dancing.
That's
or,
what I meant.
Yeah, you could make, like, maybe a couple wisdom saving throws in a row for maybe you get immune to that song, so when it switches to a different song, that's when you get charmed again. As it goes on, the charm becomes less and less effective if you break it. So, like, say you break it once. Now you get to roll, like, with a lower DC on being charmed again to dance. Because I think you can start off with a really high DC. You have to break, like, a 27 save or you're charmed into dancing. You can still attack. You can still communicate. But, you know, communicating takes your whole turn now. Because in between you busting a move doesn't leave you much time to do much others than that. So it takes your action to communicate with your party now. It takes up time to, you know, so your attacks are with disadvantage because you're focusing on making sure you look good dancing because you want to be in the party. You could even give it to a chance where, like, if you can beat the dragon in dancing, if you can get the crowd over on your side and cheer you on more than you can Goldmember, then maybe that's, like, another way to defeat it. I also, Malcolm, really enjoy the idea of, like, obviously, you're the DM. And you know your party better than we will know your party. So do what they would want to do. But I think, you know, different options is a good way to give them.
I think it could be fun if we go with the stereograph for their phylactery, where you just kind of go down and that's what you have to take out is whatever song it's playing.
Mm-hmm. I kind of imagine, like, the giant, like, record player with, like, the big horn on it, and then they put the bard or person in it, and that person has to run around in a circle while singing. Like, it doesn't affect the voice or anything, but, like, that's, like, they get tossed around in a circle.
I like that. That's pretty good. I keep trying to figure out how to work a jukebox in, but I don't know if there's a way.
Oh, it's magical. It's the jukebox of holding. So when the dragon goes and presses a button, that's what Bard comes out. And then he picks it up and he puts it in his... That's the magical compartment that makes sure his music and entertainment doesn't die.
That would be great if, like, when they're released, they're like, there was only a void. Please don't put me back. And it's like, you got 3 minutes. So maybe if we didn't want to do, like, skeletal or, like, things, it'd just be, like, all of them on the edge of death but not having enough time to die. When they pop out, it's just like they're still existing. I guess if you... Nah, it doesn't really matter. You just cut that section out where I suggest that. It doesn't make any difference. But yeah, I really like that idea for that. How to defeat him?
Yeah,
I think you just got to have better moves.
Better moves. I mean, fighting, obviously an option. If you have a wizard with fireball, let him, you know, possibly set the roof on fire. I think the more you can come up with music puns that your players enjoy, or, you know, don't, is what's going to be a great tool for you in helping you to decide on how you want to destroy this dragon. Attacking the phylactery, the jukebox. I think maybe the jukebox is like the official phylactery. That's the source of its power and soul, being able to control this music and dance. And, you know, the crowd changes to whatever song's on. So if you play a song from the disco era, that's what they're doing. If you play a song like, you know, if you put on the Cupid Shuffle, Fantasy Cupid Shuffle, that's what they do. So I think that's like your target, and you can thread needles and, or should you say threads to your players that way. Or I meant to say needle threads to your players, but no, Hugo, my brain's broken today. I don't know what happened.
It could be also really dangerous to challenge this dragon to a dance-off, because if your dancing is really good, they're just going to keep you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's great. Yeah. Like I said, I think the best way to get your party in here is one of your players or a very important NPC gets caught up in his dancing. Like, oh, this could be... I know a lot of parties. My one party that I DM'd for, they have an NPC that they're trying to get to date someone. I don't know why, but they're just like, you need a love life. And, you know, maybe they finally get that date. They go to the dance, but they didn't come back the next morning. And you're like, yeah, this is a good thing. Went well last night. All right. And then all of a sudden it's like day three. And then the guard's like, ah, if he went to this party, he's not coming back. What do you mean? He's like, well, all the shitty dancers are let go. The good ones stay forever. You're like, what? Yeah, you can go investigate if you want. Follow the instructions. Up the hill, down the left, turn right. very much like Farquaad's Kingdom and Shrek with the music. You get in there and you have kobolds dancing for you.
They'll just be so happy. Like, especially, okay, so we're moving away from disco, but I'd also would like to...
Well, you know, the theme of disco is like the dance isn't dead. Yeah.
I know it's our starting point, but I was going to say, it's not a problem. I was just going to say that Carl Douglas, the man who made Kung Fu Fighting, also made a song called Dance the Kung Fu, which is great and is a disco song. But also, I was going to say, if we wanted to do different types of emotion based off of the different songs, so it'd be things like, you know, big love ballads would be like really sad and everyone just, maybe things would like slow down for like the big dramatics of it, or you'd have like disco where it's all like, yeah, everyone's charmed and forced to have a good time. Like with feel good music and stuff. But if you go different genres, you can assign different effects to this Draco Lich's lair that can change not only how the fighters fight, but how the fight itself affects your party and the other group as well.
Yeah, like Disco Inferno, burn, baby, burn. You have like fire flare out.
Fire.
Ice, baby. You know, everyone's frozen. The Macarena comes on and everyone has to do it. Chicken dance. All of that stuff. Bring it in.
I always wanted to name a character Macarena. What if we just named the dragon Macarena? Maybe the dragon's not a guy. Maybe the dragon's a girl named Macarena.
I don't know. I liked Spotify.
Spotify's pretty great.
Yeah, I just think it's so funny of just like, next, sir. You've been skipping quite a lot today.
That's it. Spotify is like his butler that isn't actual Faye.
Yeah, yeah. I think it'd be great. Like, Master Dragon, would you like to see your top played tracks from year 1001? Oh, yes, I haven't heard those in quite a while.
Oh, well, with that idea of Spotify being like a butler or an assistant, that could be like your real big bad. Like, maybe this Draco Lich is all just about having a good time, but the Spotify is like, no, you will give me more, and I will keep growing.
If you kill my master, I will kill you type thing, yeah.
Yeah, and then it's like, maybe it has like a bigger plan to like take over more and more.
Yeah, and this dragon loves music so much, so it was just a good relationship for the both of them. He's like, I get to dance, and this guy gets powerful by watching everyone else dance.
Plus, if it's an actual fae, it's like, fae are notorious tricksters, so it'd be the perfect thing to like set you up with like, oh, all right, and then that'll be great too, because when the party comes in, he'll be like, would you like a break from the ads? And he just beats up the party, just attacks.
Ad break, if they don't buy a ticket in, they're not premium members. So there's like a 2-minute ad break in between songs where like they have to decide what they can do. Give them like a two like free actions or something like that. That'd be funny.
Oh, that'd be good.
But I think, again, like you said, David, at the beginning, I think definitely add more traps. You know, classic pitfall traps. You could do like Dance Dance Revolution traps where like they're on the floor and the dance floor lights up and you see runes pointing north, south, east, and west, and that's how you have to navigate through the dance floor now. You know, up, up, jump, ooh, jump, jump, left, right.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do all of that type of moving. And, you know, while dancing, that's hard to do. So it's like make a dexterity check at disadvantage, or, you know, if you have expertise, you're able to like boogie your way through it.
I think most of the traps, like there would be, having some on the dance floor makes it more dangerous and more kind of exciting when you're there. But most of the traps would be kind of, I guess, in like the storage or the background area where kind of the other dancers are being stored and where this dragon is comporting as well.
Yeah, you could walk into another room and you could see people being trained to dance back there, you know, like forcefully, like you know, forceful ballet training, or, you know, all right, you're learning how to do the electric slide tonight. But I'm tired of this, Grandpa.
Yes.
So, yeah, they're very evil. Like, I mean, they're not afraid to kill someone if they're not going to dance properly. So people are, one, once you get on the dance floor, it's terrifying because you don't stop dancing. But if you don't learn how to dance well enough, you're also just killed right off.
That's all right. I think for the Spotify being the one who trains these people, like, I like the idea of an ignorant Draco Lich who's still, like, not a good person, but doesn't get how terrible things actually are, like, that these people are being forced to dance, not only by his, like, little charm of, like, everybody have a good time, but his thing, like, Spotify is like, oh, yeah, I'll get you some dancers, and he just forces these people. He's like, you don't know how to dance, you're gonna learn, and if you don't learn, I'm gonna hurt you until you do. You're gonna have no legs for a few seconds and you're gonna learn, yeah, how to dance. So okay, that time my internet froze. But yeah,
I think we just hit this one on the head here.
Looks like I'm on the recap this
and
week
I'm the outro.
Malcolm, you're on. Yeah,
I'm synopsis.
Yeah,
I will be ready for that momentarily.
Okay, I'll go ahead with the recap. Basically, what we've come up with today, your party enters a kingdom in which there's daily parties. You're hired by a noble who is tired of his parties always being kind of avoided or ruined by this other partygoer who hosts his own party, and everyone always goes there instead. As you kind of approach, you're warned by some of the guards, hey, everyone... not everyone who goes to this party is able to leave. And with that warning, you go in and find that there's a Draco Lich that hosts these parties. And this Draco Lich collects exotic dancing. Or maybe not exotic dancing, those are the wrong words. Collects dancing that it likes.
Those are Tuesday nights. When he needs to pull in a crowd.
Basically, this Draco Lich will enslave good dancers at the party. And it requires the people of the realm to come here. Because it's a dragon, it's basically extorting the nearby realm. So your party goes in and finds out that all of these people from history, some of them having died and been reanimated, continue to dance under the enthrall of this Draco Lich. And it's up to your party to put an end to it without falling into his collection.
All right. I think I got it. After dancing to the point of gaining an exhaustion point, your party approaches the Draco Lich who's been behind this whole thing the whole time, with pleading eyes, ready to finally defeat him, but with what little energy and spell slots they have left, having worked through the whole room, they stand up and ready their weapons. As the Draco Lich simply says, "Go on, go. Walk out the door. Just turn around now, because you're not welcome anymore." And they freeze in panic as he stands strong, turning into a skeletal self, saying, "You think I'd crumble? You think I'd lay down and die? No, I will survive!" And attacks. Roll initiative. I had to look up the lyrics to that one. It's been so long since I listened to I Will Survive.
That was great. And I love that. Speaking of surviving, I'll go do the outro. Because you have all survived our survived our episode. So let's get down on it and move on to this outro here. Thanks for listening to Filling in the Gaps Rerolled. Our theme music is Today by Linby off their album Drive. If you like it, you can hear more of it from them at linby.bandcamp.com or on the Actual Play podcast Bombarded. You can find all of us on Twitter. As always, I have been Sam or DM Mambo, and my Twitter handle is at DM Mambo5. And our show is FitGD&D, and you can join us on our Discord. Our link is on our Twitter account. And we are always looking for new themes and scenarios to add to our list. Gentlemen, would you like to hand out your handles as well?
Sure. I've been Malcolm. I'm not going to do the handle thing, but I am going to say, if you also want to submit a question for us to ask at the beginning of the show, go ahead and do that too, because that's always really helpful as well. We like to know what you guys want to know about, I don't know, our D&D experiences, or if you just want to hear some wacky stories or crazy thoughts we have, our D&D hot takes.
Yeah, let us know.
If you want to know for some reason about us.
Oh yeah, that too. But yeah, follow the show at FitGD&D and leave us a 5-star review wherever you do listen to your podcast, if they let you rate them.
I have been David today. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, David. Thank you for having us on the show. Thank you to all our listeners for listening to us at the office, in the car, at the house, in the bedroom, wherever.
And at the in the listener zone.
Oh, the listener zone. Yep. You're there too. And last but certainly not least, the man who made this all possible. This show is edited by the one, the only, Audio Gremlin, Andrew Brown. You can follow them at xnuminator912x. And our lovely hosts, the hostess with the mostess. We are on an Obtuse Audio Studios podcast. They are the main driving force for all of FitGD&D. Everything we do is all thanks to Obtuse Audio Studios. You can learn more about them at obtuseaudio.com. Don't forget to give us five-star review on Apple iTunes, because Obtuse Audio Studios really needs this. We need you. We love you. Buy our merch. Talk to us. We've got bills to pay, and well, right now, this is all free. And we'd still do it. We're still going to do it. We're not in it for the money. We're in it for the D&D, for the love, for Rich and Cam, RIP.
They're not dead. Don't do that.
Oh, yeah, I know. They're still here. They'll be on again one of these days, even if we have to go to Texas. I don't know where he is. Texas, Ohio. We'll find him.
You good, Sam?
No, I'm just rifting right now.
I know. That sounds like you're going for a while. You'll be able to edit something out.
Yeah, you'll be able to. We'll fix this in post. We'll see you right here. Disco might be dead, but this episode sure is. We're done. Bye!
Obtuse Audio.